In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Both of the Gospels we read this morning from St. Luke are relatively short. And the first one, which is from Luke 18, verses 35 through 43, about the blind man, is, I think, of particular interest in it because of its simplicity. And we hear about this story, and then it's happened as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I think what's fascinating about this is that the blind man was able to see spiritually. And he knew in his heart, because he saw with the eye of his heart, as it were, that this was in fact Jesus, the Son of David. And he cried out, "Have mercy on me." And then and those surrounding him warned him to be quiet. And yet he cried out, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And I think it's fascinating that those who could see and hear did not comprehend yet who Jesus was. They called him Jesus of Nazareth. And the blind man knows that this was Jesus, the Son of David. And if we look at the genealogy, and Jesus is descended in part from the throne of David. And what that means is that the grace of God that dwelt with the holy prophet David and dwelt upon the altar of the temple was incarnate in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And the blind man knew this. The others knew that he was from Nazareth. That was his natural, physical place. But the blind man knew that he was Jesus, the Son of David. And he cried out, "Have mercy on me." And when we think about this, we have to consider our own ability to see. And I think there are times when we would recognize in others a blindness, the blindness of not being able to understand, seeing with the eyes and yet not understanding. And here we have the blind man who could not see with his eyes, and yet he understood and saw, as it were, spiritually through his heart. And I think this is a message to each and every one of us, which is, are we those who recognize Jesus of Nazareth in the natural way, or do we recognize him as the Son of David, the Son of God? And it's also very important to think about whether we can see with our physical eyes and hear with our physical ears, but not see with the eyes of our heart, as it were, and not see the truth that is told to us. And we have to examine ourselves, because in reality, we must reach a point in our lives where we see with the heart. And when we see with the heart, which of course we mean in the unity of the mind and the heart, when we see with the mind in the heart, we do understand. And we come to knowledge. And what's fascinating about it is the knowledge is not, while there are many theological texts which attempt to discuss and explain the knowledge that we have about God. That knowledge is not necessarily the knowledge of God. To know, that is deeply rooted in the idea of knowing, for example, the husband knows his bride and the bride knows the husband. There's a unity of spirit that's implied in the whole wedding analogy. And we, to know, must be united in our heart with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. So Jesus entered the scene, and he stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And sometimes this word for well is translated whole. And what's very fascinating, I think, is that there's knowing with the intellect. But then there's this whole concept of faith. And I've mentioned it many times before, but there's a very simplicity of faith that we believe and we trust. But there is a deeper understanding, I think, where we know that faith actually is a way of knowing. And faith, united with prayer, discloses the truths of divine revelation in a way that they become part, as it were, of our life. They become integrated into our mind and soul. And so it is, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. And he's speaking not just to the blind. Our Savior is speaking always when he has these sayings of his. He's speaking to all of us. We, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, who are blind because of our enslavement to the passions and to the flesh, can be made whole and be made well and be given spiritual sight through faith united with prayer. And this is what's fascinating about the Jesus prayer. The whole idea of Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner, but saying it continuously and trying with all our strength to unite our mind to these simple words. And then uniting our mind to the words, and then realizing that as we unite our mind to the words, the distractions fall away from our thinking, and for a period, even for short periods, these distractions disappear, and we find that in the center, as it were, of our mind, united with our heart, that we hold the very presence and the very name and the very person through the name of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. We hold it there before us. And through this, we begin to understand. We begin to see and to know the things that are most important to our salvation. And so, the last words of this gospel, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Now, the epistle that's appointed to go with this gospel is very short. And it's from St. Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, St. Paul is, if you read St. Paul, these are not empty words. St. Paul, and we know a little bit about his history, St. Paul saw himself as the greatest of sinners. He had persecuted the Christians before his conversion. He had consented to the stoning of St. Stephen. And he obviously had other things that he talks about, the thorn in his flesh. He had other passions, let's say, that had to be conquered. And he understood himself as a great sinner. He says, "However, For this reason I obtained mercy. So he's now saying, I am the greatest of sinners, but I obtained mercy. That in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. So here, so St. Paul, although he confesses that he's a great sinner, and he believes he is, and he understands this, and it's with him every day in his consciousness, he also knows that he's an apostle to bring the gospel to each and every one of us. And he says that in me, first, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. That is, as an example. And this, of course, is a very central teaching to us. And it says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So what is the pattern that St. Paul showed? And what it is he suffered greatly. He was, and when you, there's a, he has this account in the epistles of his sufferings. And he suffered at sea, he suffered in storm, he suffered from hunger, he suffered from imprisonment and being beaten and scourged and so on. He suffered. But in his suffering, he never gave up his love for our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And he never gave up the central understanding, which is that in Christ Jesus, no matter what we suffer, if we remain faithful, so then we will receive the gift of everlasting life. And I think this teaching is very important to us. And I know that we ourselves have our little problems, and some of them are very big problems, and great problems, and so on. And we complain, and we pray that, Lord, just take this away from me. And of course we should pray that God take our sufferings away from us. But we must pray most of all for the strength and the commitment to endure the sufferings in the grace of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the reality, which cannot be denied, is that there is suffering in our world. And that suffering is there for a purpose, to enlighten us to the fact that we ourselves are sinking into darkness without our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're continuously reminded to appeal to him and to, like St. Paul presents himself as the example, the pattern, to receive our sufferings in the love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and in his grace, and in his mercy, and his power. And may God give us the strength to endure our little irritations and our small sufferings compared to St. Paul's and our Savior's, that we may use them as a moment to turn us, when the suffering comes, turn us to prayer, turn us toward Lord and Savior, and that in this we may be victorious over our passions and the very great distractions which assault us in the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.